Good morning, everyone. I'd like to read to you from Luke's Gospel and chapter 7. And there's a lovely episode there recorded by all the Gospels, but we'll take the Luke version here. From verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." It's a lovely story, but it's a little bit upside down. We've got a sinful woman, and we've got, as far as everybody else is concerned, and we've got a godly man. And the godly man is very religious. He's a Pharisee, literally means one set apart to study the Word of God, and he can't see it. And she can see it. She sees in Jesus what James the Apostle describes as the Lord of glory. What did she see? There are four accounts, and if you look at the four accounts, they're in Matthew chapter 26, again in Mark chapter 14, you'll read it again in John's Gospel, in chapter 7, I think it is, and 12. And then the one that we read there in Luke in chapter 7. And if you run the comparisons, it really does look as though this is the same event. The woman that we're talking about is none other than the daughter of the Pharisee. How else would she be in the Pharisee's house? But she's the daughter of the Pharisee, and she's the black sheep of the family. And the Pharisee looks on her and describes her in his thoughts as a sinner. So clearly he didn't really think that he was much of a sinner. He was a godly person. He'd spent his life studying the Word of God, but he still didn't get it. She came with all her sins and her bad background and everything, and she saw in Jesus something beyond what her father saw. He saw a man with dirty feet, didn't want to touch the dirty feet. Normally in the Middle East in those days, a slave would come in a wealthy house like that, and because when you didn't sit at table, you reclined at table, so you'd literally be lying on the floor and up on one elbow. So the slave would just go round behind everyone, washing the feet of the guests. Now, if you think it's hot here in the summer, you should see what it's like in the summer in Israel. And when you've been walking, as Jesus had, from town to town, your feet, and I say this respectfully, are not very nice. Nobody wants to touch them. Nobody wants to be particularly near them. And here was this Galilean tradesman, as far as the Pharisee is concerned, with dirty feet. But when you look at a comparison of the four passages, you find that Simon had a bit of history. Simon had been a leper. And leprosy wasn't curable. So how come he's in a house? Because lepers were banished. They had to live outside the city. But he's back in the house. And it looks like he's back in his duties as a Pharisee. I think he had some history with Jesus. He'd seen Jesus in action. He knew the Old Testament. He'd had Jesus to his home. He'd had conversations with Jesus. And despite all of that, he still didn't get it. And she, with all her sin, came with nothing to offer but her love. And she got it. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 9, there's a lovely word there. It just says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That's quite a strong thing to say. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, if you don't have a healthy respect for God, you haven't begun to be wise yet. It's the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have a right relationship with God, your whole life is built on a false premise that you're not accountable, that there is no God, there's no purpose in the universe. You're going to die one day and your life's going to count ultimately for nothing. It's not true. There is a God. He does love you, but he also holds you accountable. What did she see that Simon didn't see? She saw that she needed her sins forgiven. The story's upside down. From the world's eyes, looking at these two characters in the story, they couldn't be more different. One with a reputation for sin and the other one with a reputation for holiness. But God looks on the heart. And here's the harsh truth. Knowing the Bible will not save you. Being religious will not save you. I hate to say it, but even living a good life will not save you. If you believe that, you're going to be in for a shock when you do meet God, because his standards are perfection. And the only way that we can satisfy his holiness is to have our sins forgiven. She saw that, and he didn't. He was trying to get to heaven by his own efforts, and it's impossible. And the only way that we will get to heaven is if we admit that we don't deserve it. And we come to the Lord with all our sins, and we say, "Lord, forgive me." And we offer him our thanks and our praise. And it's the beginning of wisdom. The lights come on. The world makes sense when you ask the Lord Jesus for forgiveness. Now, I know a lot of people who've been to church for years. And when you ask them, "Do you really know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior?" they say, "Well, I'm still exploring." You can explore forever. You can study all the books you like, and it won't enlighten you. The light won't come on. What will make the light come on? It's that simple prayer, "Lord, forgive me." If we don't come admitting we're a sinner, then Jesus says, "We've no gospel. There's no message for you." He said, "I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance." And that's why heaven is filled with people like this woman and like Zacchaeus and like the thief on the cross, people with a terrible track record. It's going to be filled with people like Angus Jameson. I don't have time to tell you why I shouldn't be there, but I shouldn't be there. But Jesus forgave my sins. It really is as simple as that. The story's upside down, but if we see it from the Lord's point of view, it's the right way up. Those that come to the Lord and confess their sins and ask for forgiveness are guaranteed a reception and are guaranteed heaven. Please don't misunderstand it. You cannot get there by being good. You can only get there by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who bled to death for us. She took the box. Three of the accounts tell us it was an alabaster box. Mark tells us she didn't just pour it out, she broke the box. The box was broken, the contents poured. It was like a dramatic, in the true sense of the word, a dramatic prophecy of what Jesus would do. The body was broken, his blood was poured out in order to forgive us for our sins. And when we partake of this, we just remind ourselves of our own unworthiness to be in heaven, but our confidence that we will be one day. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not sure, or if you're still exploring, talk to somebody, but preferably, talk to God. Say, Lord, forgive me, and he will. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray this morning that if there's anyone here who doesn't know the joy and the confidence of being forgiven, may they take this opportunity this morning to offer that simple prayer in faith and ask you, Lord, for forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you for the love that you showed for us. Your body broken, your poured out blood. And we offer you our worship and our praise and our thanksgiving this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.